coming to you live from, well, two places. From Plugkid Studios in beautiful Largo, Florida, and here in Orlando, Florida, we are keeping you plugged in with episode 356 of F5 Live, refreshing technology.
This week, EA shuts down another studio, Samsung hates the droids they found, and whoa, Beats. Say Nick.
Nick, got it, still remotely.
There's a smell in the studio. I don't know if it exists where you are too.
I told Mark to shower. I told him to shower. Shame on him.
But that wouldn't affect you.
It wouldn't affect me, you're right. I smell sanitary cleaning supplies and Walt Disney. That's what I smell. But I think I know what you're talking about. It's because there's an event from IBM right around the corner. And I'm smelling that too. It's the new tech smell. Scott, I think I know why. It's because I think that this show? This show right here.
This one here?
This one right here is part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. I'm Nick.
I'm Scott.
I'm Mark.
And we're here.
We are.
You guys are there. I'm here. I'm here. Wherever you may be and however you may be accessing our show, whether it be Facebook, iTunes, Zoom, F5Live.tv, the podcast play app available in the Windows Store, or on our apps, plugkidslive.com/apps. Pick them up. There's two ways you can do it. All of the Windows platform has our app. And because we all know it's the most non-obsolete, most effective, and quite frankly, the best operating system on the planet, there's a Plugkid 5 app for webOS and your webOS LG TV. So go pick that up. And of course, on our new home over on Livestream, the Tech Podcast Network Livestream, thanks for making us part of your day. But of course, there is one place you can go get all of the content as it happens on your phone, computer, or tablet. That's by going to F5Live.tv, clicking the subscribe button on the right-hand side. Not sure if I'm pointing in the right direction.
You totally are.
Video. Yes! Audio, video, social, special events like this one, Pilch Point, etc. It's all there for your consuming pleasure. Now, if you don't know, I will tell you this right here, folks. It's high tech. It's our flagship show, F5 Live, refreshing technology on the Plugkid Live family of content. Our show airs Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Rain, sleet, or hail, or travel. It doesn't matter. We do it. It gets posted between Sunday night and Monday morning and in studio quality sound. Did you do that? Did you do the thing that I do?
I was too distracted by the fact that on the word quality, the sound quality went away.
How fitting to what we do. It's fantastic.
I feel like Skype is screwing with you a little bit tonight.
It's got voice recognition now because of Cortana, right?
There you go.
It's all fitting. But you can download our show on our website when you subscribe so you can get all of the content in the morning. And that's incentive. If you want high quality, you want to listen to this at your leisure, that's fine. But there's an incentive, too. You can listen to us live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can chat with us in the studio or while I'm over here by going to F5Live.tv/join us. Stay tuned in that chat room. I don't know if they're doing it tonight. I really can't tell you. I'm not part of that, but I know they will at least take your questions in tonight's Epic Award-winning, spine-chilling, IBM Innovate Award-winning, that's not true, Nightcap, where we talk about random things. And this is where Scott talks about that part.
Absolutely. So, this week we are going to do a standard nightcap. The question is actually inspired by one of the topics that we're going to talk about on the show tonight. And the question will be, what is the strangest way that you can think to implement deep learning? So, We're gonna explain what it is a little later in the show during the news from the tubes category. It doesn't have to necessarily be strange. It could just be an interesting implementation. Or what are some of the most interesting ideas that might come out of it? You know, something in that realm. So we'll talk about deep learning, I guess, in Act 3, and then we'll do it again in the nightcap. So that's the plan tonight.
That's awesome, because I'm all about that underwater exploration.
That's deep sea diving.
Yeah.
Different.
Deep learning.
Deep sea learning.
Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of Horizons.
Anyway, I'm doing a thing. That's why I'm not there.
Yes, you are doing a thing. What thing are you doing?
Disney. No. Yeah, kind of. I'm at, right now, I am in a hotel room just off Disney property in preparation for an event that started tonight for the reception but begins officially tomorrow morning, IBM Innovate. It is a developer conference around IBM's platform and their delivery and all things software with IBM. And it's a four-day event, ends on Thursday. I will be here until Thursday morning covering the event. You can find all of the content on our special events page on our website, F5Lab.tv, where we talked about. But I'll be talking to a lot of different people, from developers all the way up to chief C-level type people from many different companies, many different walks of life. I'm really excited. I think a lot of the stuff will actually benefit our sister company, Sumo Software, that Mark is part of, and we all are. I think a lot of it will tailor to a lot of the geeks in all of us with some of the, I've already seen drones being created. I've already seen using Bluemix, which is IBM's platform, to drive your car with your smartphone. You can drive a little remote car that has some sensors on it. There's a bunch of stuff that I already saw tonight at the social reception lounge that I can't wait to get in there tomorrow and actually dive into the conference floor and really see what's going on. So I'm out here for a couple of days. It should be a fun event for all. Make sure you subscribe and use the hashtag IBM Innovate. And we'll talk more about that next Sunday when I get back.
So, are you diving into the conference because of the deep learning?
Yes, I'm glad you caught that. This is what I do for you guys.
Oh, so you're too much sometimes.
Speaking of deep learning, you know, IBM has a product, an actual supercomputer called Deep Blue, that is based on these concepts. So, maybe you'll get to talk to Deep Blue while you're out there.
Or maybe you'll be able to take it away from them.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I aim to do. Everyone keeps asking us, what do you expect from these events? And I always keep telling them really cool things. Like, oh, what do you mean? I'm like, no, seriously, I want to take away really cool things from the event. Just all the time.
Yeah, like when we did MakerCon, we were asked, what do you hope to take away from the conference? And we said, a 3D printer.
Right. So, this is what's happening.
So this is IBM. You got to scale up. So Deep Blue seems like a pretty reasonable thing to hope to take away.
KleptoCon.
KleptoCon.
Gotta take away something. Right? So it's all good. I gotta make sure I mention this. You guys out there in the world, in the spheres of social media, need to connect and engage with us. We're on YouTube. Plug It's Live. We're on Google+, because that's a thing for special events, and it will be. Stay tuned to that. But we're on Facebook, F5 Live, Plug It's Live Radio. Check out those. Or the Tech Podcast Network, TPN. Or on at Plug It's Live. Go check it out. Follow us. Like us. Share us. Retweet us. Do all of the Twittery things, because we appreciate it.
Do all of the Twittery things?
Do all of the Twittery things.
Okay.
At twitter.uk.
Twitter.uk. Yeah, that's right.
Oh my god. Holy cow.
We have a show to do. So what are you guys doing delaying all this? Really, we have a show to do.
Yeah. Yeah, let's pretend that that's what's going on. And I'm going to go ahead and start the first section right now.
This week's Nifty Gifties on F5 Live. Hey, Scott, they're nifty.
They're nifty gifties.
Sally, powered by the Microsoft Store. Look, we all know it. You have somebody in your family, one of your friends, somebody who is still grasping onto the straws that is the Windows XP. Talk to them. hold them by their shoulders and say, "No more, sir." And take them over to the Microsoft store. You can save $100 right now on a brand new Windows 8 PC. And it gets even better. Free 90-day support from Microsoft directly, so they don't have to come bother you when they go, "I don't know how to use the start menu." We get it. It's fine. 90 days of support. And last but not least, free data transfer, pictures, files, all the stuff that it said, "Well, I'm not sure if it's going to come over." It's coming over, all the way over to the new Windows 8 PC, but don't take my word for it. Go check them out yourself. All the great Windows 8 devices at f5live.tv/Microsoft.
So, speaking of Microsoft, not Microsoft. For once, we're actually going to go off on that. So we know that that one of Samsung's ultimate goals over the last, let's say, 18 months has been to abandon Android. They've been doing an interesting job of it so far. We saw the Gear 2 and Gear 2 Neo smartwatches replace Android with Tizen, Samsung's own kind of internal pet project. And we've seen some manufacturers get on board with Tizen. Ironically, Samsung has not put it on anything important yet. But they've gotten one step closer to abandoning Android entirely in favor of Tizen, and that move comes to us via some older hardware. So the original Galaxy Gear smartwatch was Android-powered at launch and has been Android-powered through now. And now it's going to change. In the newest firmware update 2.2.0, it will upgrade from Android to Tizen behind the scenes. Now, what will that mean for people who own the watch? Almost nothing. The UI between the two is identical because Samsung spent a lot of time skinning Android for the original Galaxy Gear. And the Tizen interface for the smartwatch was almost pixel perfect to the Android interface. So because of that, the upgrade will visually look no different. However, lots of things changing behind the scenes, right? When you swap out an operating system. Obviously, one of the reasons that they're doing it is because they want to move all of their stuff away from Android. But that's not the key here. The key here is that by moving the original Galaxy Gear over to Tizen, it will give owners of the original hardware access to features that the newer stuff had that they couldn't get, particularly the ability to put music directly on the device and play it on the watch and not have to have it paired with a phone. So if you've wandered away from the phone, you can still play music, which is one of those things really good for the gym, stuff like that, where you might want to pair a headset to the watch and not have your phone in your pocket, leave that in the car, leave that at home, something like that, so you don't break it, but still have music. All of that wasn't possible with the Android platform, but now on Tizen it is. In addition, there are going to be battery enhancements, which are fantastic, because a smartwatch running out in the middle of the day, nothing worse than that, right? Oh, my watch is off. So some pretty impressive battery enhancements. But the most important thing is Samsung only released one wearable device running Android. And then they abandoned the platform for their two newer devices. So that means that there is no incentive at all, because the Galaxy Gear didn't run Android Wear. It ran Android with a skinned OS, skinned interface, right? So there is zero reason for any developer to even consider building anything for the older hardware. And that's disappointing for early adopters, right? Mm-hmm. So by switching the older hardware to the newer operating system, all software that is written for the new hardware, so long as the old hardware has the sensors to support it, will be available to you. So that's really cool. So basically, they're trying to ensure that the original Galaxy Gear is not this standalone dead platform off in the corner that will never be maintained. So that's good. They're showing a commitment to their wearables, and I like that. That's, you don't always see that.
Yeah, you don't see that from HP, for example.
Right.
And WebOS.
Yeah.
So sad.
But maybe from LG, since they own it now. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. What do you think, Nick? Oh, you're not making any noise.
Now we should be making noise.
Yeah, now you're making noise.
I was saying it's interesting for sure. We've been talking about this for a while since Samsung Con in October, and even before that, their shift off of Android, which is interesting because it brought them to the dance in the first place. But I think they're realizing whether or not it's something that is stifling to them or a hindrance to be stuck to the name Google, because some people don't like Google but love Samsung products. Getting off on a Tizen is definitely an important move, but we haven't seen them apply it to anything, I guess, worthwhile yet. But now we're seeing a push forward, which is definitely refreshing.
And now, this upcoming week, in addition to all of the other crazy things going on, is Samsung's Tizen-focused developer conference, where we expect to see some Samsung-focused implementations of Tizen. It's almost certainly why they're pushing this update now to the original watches, so that they can talk about their commitment to Tizen and whatnot at the developer conference, and really encourage people to build for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting. I look forward to seeing what our friends at Laptop Mag and I guess in this case Tom's Guide, since it's not, I don't know where wearables fit in their family. We'll say Laptop Mag since it's mobile.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't quite know where wearables fit in the family, but wherever they fit, it'll be interesting to see where Abrams' team, what they bring back to us from Samsung.
Right.
You know, it'd be cool to found a company just based on this one operating system called Jane, because Jane likes Tarzan.
Oh.
Can you mute his mic?
Done.
I'm trying to increase the age demographic to people over 40.
Yes, Tarzan jokes are certainly the way to do that.
It's going to help.
It will.
I know there's a couple of people in the chat room that right now have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily related.
What's Tarzan?
All right, so
you could do a little thing like where you have all the answers for like a test you were going to take and call it Cheetah.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Okay, so what I heard was after the show, we're going to go into the Tizen developer console and reserve the name Cheetah.
Absolutely. Along with some of the other more infamous things we've reserved.
Oh my goodness. And I think, Nick, on that note,
this week's Extra Life on F5 Live is proudly powered by Origin by Electronic Arts. Yes, EA has a platform. It's called Origin. You may have heard of it. If you haven't, you need to go check it out, because quite frankly, there's some great deals going on the platform right now. Specifically, they're a blockbuster free games. Right now, if you go over to the platform, you will realize and see that Battlefield 3 is, as they say, on the house. Just add the game to your Origin library and it's yours forever. If you're not into that, that's okay. There's a bunch of other games on there as well. You can go check them out. You can pick one, you can buy it, and if you don't like it, that's okay. EA's Great Game Guarantee says you can contact EA, get your money back right away for any digital purchase on Origin. So go check them out. Origin by Electronic Arts at f5live.tv/Origin.
So, speaking of EA, they are closing a studio. Another one. It seems to be their thing right now. And I guess before we move off of the Origin thing real quick, Plants vs. Zombies still free as well.
Oh, very good.
So, I was curious about that, so I went and looked real quick. 'Cause I like that game. It's ridiculously fun. Anyway, so...
what's not to like? Plants, zombies.
Exactly. You can't really mess with that. So, EA has been closing up shop for a number of their studios. Mostly the, I guess, unknown names or the highly underperforming studios. You know, last year we saw Playfish go away and Nick and I raged for a while.
Was that really underperforming, though? That made no sense to anyone involved.
No, that was the unknown name aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't an underperforming. That was an unknown name, unfortunately. But we saw Playfish go away. We've seen them working on consolidating some of their mobile and social platforms into a smaller collection of studios. And unfortunately, somehow... Mythic managed to get classified by EA as a mobile or social studio. Now, for those of you who don't know Mythic, they've been around for 2 decades. They created Dungeon Keeper with Peter Molyneux. It's kind of what got Peter Molyneux started, was Dungeon Keeper. They did the Warhammer Online title. They kind of pioneered MMOs with Dark Age of Camelot. They were one of the first financially successful MMOs. So Mythic's been around for a long time. In 2006, EA purchased them and renamed them. And then in, I think, 2012, they named them back because the name was a bad idea. And then this week, they have made them go away altogether. Now, why did this happen? As I said before, because somehow Mythic fell under EA's mobile and social studios, which is strange, until you know that at some point EA asked them to create mobile versions of Dungeon Keeper and Ultima Forever, which were, as you would expect, disasters. Because porting full titles to the mobile platform has not yet really worked. So, neither of these titles were successes, and they ultimately led to the closing of a 20-year-old award-winning game studio.
I don't know, man. It's, at times, I really love what EA does as a whole. I think their distribution platform is seriously unmatched. I think they have so many channels that you have to pay attention to what they're doing. And then they go ahead and do things like close down Playfish instead of taking the SimCity brand and moving it to some other studio. Then they go ahead and close down something seriously epic like this. This is like the Atari, you know, this is like names that you can't, you can't close these things down. Even if they make you no money, you just keep the name around. You leave it. You don't mess with that.
You fire everybody and move talented developers into the studio, and you release things under the Mythic name.
But instead, you do the exact opposite. Give people jobs at a job fair and close the brand, which the brand isn't the issue sometimes. Sometimes people you have working for the brand. So it's frustrating because the name behind it means so much, and for them to do that means they think of it so little, and it bothers me.
It's kind of the opposite approach of what Activision did with Infinity Ward, when the founders of Infinity Ward left over Activision contract breaches, and there was a whole mess of things that happened, and then all of the developers left Infinity Ward to go over to Respawn to create Titanfall, which is out now, ironically, through EA, available through Origin. They just refilled the studio with whoever was around and pretended like nothing happened, but anybody who's played the games that have come out of it know that nothing that has come out of Infinity Ward since Jason left have been Infinity Ward quality games.
Oh, no, they've just gotten better and better. Oh, that's not... No, not better.
Yeah.
The opposite of that.
Yeah, the opposite of that. When you just find whoever's not working on a project inside your company and lump them together into a studio, that... That usually
doesn't work. It's the byproduct of 8 secretaries designing a game.
The sad thing is all they had to do was take the existing Modern Warfare 2 engine and just create new maps. Just create new maps. You'd have been okay.
Yep, and instead they went and took the other studio's engine and re-implemented it.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves the consistency between releases.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful.
It's why no one's playing this version.
Yay, Activision. Anyway, so neither of these approaches are terribly appropriate for their particular scenarios. I think Mythic should still be around. I think they should have refilled it with talent. And I think Activision shouldn't have refilled Infinity Ward with not talent, so...
Maybe they shouldn't have
let Jason get away.
Off the real talent, huh?
Yeah.
How about that?
Maybe they shouldn't have let Jason get away. Because without him, the everything's kind of falling apart.
Yep.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You know what's kind of funny about this? We see some of this in the real world. It's all about how you treat people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about that.
Like when you have a contract with somebody that says you're going to pay them royalties, write the check at some point.
How about that?
Huh.
That's a familiar story.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of familiar stories, how about familiar music?
I heard this earlier today.
This week's news from the tubes at 5Live is probably powered by... Riff Tracks.
Make fun of movies, or let the professionals do it for you, because, you know, that's what they get paid for. The guys who used to do Mystery Science Theater 3000 are back and doing what they do best, making fun of movies. From blockbusters to Sharknado, they have a little bit of everything. The way it normally works is, for $3 or $4, you download the MP3, play it along with your DVD, Netflix, Amazon, wherever you have the movie, and laugh, and laugh,
and laugh, and laugh.
Nope.
Ick.
Yeah, nope. That didn't work. It was fun, though.
And laugh!
There you go. That'll work. However, from time to time, they break off from the traditional, and they do live events. We have one of those live events coming up July 10th and July 15th, because it's going to be that incredible. The film is Sharknado, the television disaster of last summer that has somehow become a cult hit. So, because of that, the boys feel they need to riff it, and I agree. Nick and I will be there, and you should too. You can pick up your tickets and find out what movies are available by going to f5live.tv/RiffTracks
with an X.
I'm all sad that I'm not invited.
You're always invited.
You're not. That's a lie.
It's a lie that he's sad about it, or it's a lie that he's invited?
I think we lost him again.
I think he's gone. Nope, he's still moving. He's just not talking.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Hi, Nick.
I asked you.
It yelled at me and said, I lost the call on my side, but you had it.
Oh, yeah. You were still moving over here. Anyway.
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything.
So something interesting happened this week. There was a... Because, again, for some reason, the past week and the next 5 weeks are filled with events. Last week was an event called Recode. Nope. Recode held an event called Code conference. Code conference. That's the problem. Recode is one of the many sources that we use for information throughout the week, and they had an event where they had all kind, actually very similar to the event that that Nick is at this week, where executives are going to get to talk about their things in favor of the people in attendance.
Right.
It's a really interesting concept, and it's been working really well. It's some of what we see at CES, but these events, you know, it's a little like TED events, except that they're moderated. So in addition to Comcast and Netflix and things like, you know, people like that being there, we had Microsoft, and we had Microsoft's new CEO, Satya Nadella, talk about some pretty incredible enhancements in technology that are coming to the platform that has locked up behind me with Nick on it. He's back. Skype.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's kind of
cool.
There
he goes.
Bye, Nick. Not only will one day in the future will Skype work over low bandwidth connections. Oh, no, they didn't announce that at all. actually, what the kind of... Really? Yeah. Here we go. Let me try again. The kind of cool thing that they announced is, and it's kind of cool, but I mean, there's not a lot to talk about because it's just one thing, just a little tiny thing. They can do real-time translation of language over Skype. That is, I'm going to chat in German, and I'm going to say, Guten Tag, V. Gates. And Nick on the other end is going to hear the computer say, hello, how are you today?
And then
that's exactly what I just heard.
and then Nick's going to respond in English, and Mark's going to hear it in German, and it'll go back and forth totally live. One of the things that I like is that it also closed captions.
Right.
Which is good because, you know, some of the languages have poor text-to-speech capabilities.
Right.
German usually is one of them, mm-hmm, for whatever reason. So closed captioning as well, which is nice.
Right. And anyone that, again, raising the age limit to 40 over here, anyone who's old enough to have ever seen anything Star Trek related, which is probably people in their 35 and older range, you guys know about the Universal Translator. Everyone has talked about this. Everyone that wrote about it before me talked about the Universal Translator, except for one place that talked about the Babel Fish, which takes us all the way back to...
the Bible.
Indeed. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So, anyway, it's exactly that. This is just like putting a Babel Fish in your ear and understanding what other people say. It's pretty amazing.
Now the technology of translation, at least text to text and then text back to speech, mm-hmm, translation, has existed seemingly forever.
Yep.
It's been decent, some better than others, you know, ironically Babel Fish being one of the, mm-hmm, less accurate versions of the technology.
That's kind of funny.
But
well, putting a fish in your ear isn't going to do a lot for you.
It's true.
Right.
But you've got, you know, the Bing Translator, you've got Google Translator. Mm-hmm. Google gets the words right, Bing tends to get syntax right, which is kind of nice.
And grammar is better.
But that's still, that's not where the enhancement is. It's
right.
It's coming from the voice to text.
So what Microsoft has done is they had their existing translation matrix and it is what it is. And they had their existing, a text to voice, which you hear in Cortana, you hear anyone that's navigating with a phone has heard this. It doesn't matter if you have, iOS or Android or anything like that.
Heck, you don't even have to have navigated with a phone. You could have a standalone GPS,
right,
built into your car. All of those are using very similar text-to-speech technologies.
That's right. And the computer lady tells you turn left here, and
absolutely,
you do at your own risk. So,
just don't turn into a lake.
Right. So the thing that's kind of cool here is, and this is the part where the problem existed, is that you could not actually talk to a computer and have it... you could not expect it to recognize you.
Right.
Until About six weeks.
Yeah,
until about six weeks ago. Now it's not even out to the public, but as developers, we have a developer preview for Cortana, and I'm here to tell you that the voice to text recognition capability is unrivaled in the industry. It is something that I've been eagerly awaiting since I was a little kid and read Isaac Asimov books. So,
And so to put into perspective just what a major leap forward Cortana represents versus regular text-to-speech, I used to use the Windows Phone talk-to-me thing, and it would usually get me right, but sometimes not. Sometimes I'd, you know, call Nicholas DeMeo, and it would not, or it would search the internet for mayonnaise, and, you know, all kinds of things.
We've all had this happen.
Yeah, we've all had it happen. However, since Cortana, anybody who follows my Twitter will know that I've actually, this week and last week, my articles for the Upstream have been dictated. Not written, but dictated using Cortana. This week, I created an app to make it a little easier for myself, but the week before, I did it just using the technology built into the phone, and I did it I 2 weeks in a row entirely with Cortana. I had to go back and do some minor editing, you know, capitalization of some stuff that she doesn't know is a proper noun, and you know, things like that. Or I'm apparently totally incapable of saying the word while. It always comes out when, each and every time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Whatever.
Oh, we lost him.
We did. He's gone. Many, many, many mouse. We'll do this for right now.
I thought you said Benihaha for a second.
Nope. Many, many mouse.
Okay. You have lots of mouse.
Yes. So, yeah. I've been using her exclusively now for 2 weeks to do the articles, and I'm so impressed. I could not have done this pre-Cortana.
Right.
And it's then there's
absolutely
you.
Absolutely impossible.
Your interaction with her versus the non-Cortana Windows Phone.
Right. Anyone who's trying to listen to me now that I'm knows I'm kind of a mushmouth. and so the Microsoft... see exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
The Microsoft... And Cortana, apparently, thinks that when I talk like this, it's okay. She loves it. She hears what I'm trying to say. It's like she's reading my mind. Absolutely. So you want to know why?
Yes.
Okay. It's impossible to exaggerate, first off, the difference in the technology capability, okay? Until you see it for yourself, you just won't believe it. And the reason that they've made this enormous jump, and it's not, Microsoft isn't the only place doing this. Everybody with the same resources that Microsoft has is going this direction. Google's doing it, Apple's doing it, not necessarily for the same technologies, but
right.
Anyway, they're doing something that's called deep learning. And in Microsoft's case, they happen to be using deep learning neural networks. Not everyone is using that same approach.
Right.
Neural networks are one way to do it. Long story short, neural networks are sort of a tricky way to more or less simulate the way the brain works.
Right.
And to give you an idea, I think it was IBM that not too long ago did a... they tried to simulate 1 second of brain activity, and it took like 4 days. And right. We're talking about like last year. And so, you know, this is with right. really state-of-the-art technology. Mm-hmm. That gives you an idea how complex our brains are.
Right.
And it's only recently become possible to take... neural networks used to be narrow, right? And now they can be deep. And what it just... It takes billions and billions of... Yeah, anyway, time-consuming. So...
it requires a tremendous amount of processing power.
Huge.
To be able to pull off a... deep learning environment, and until just the last couple of years, we haven't had the technology to even be able to pull it off.
Right.
To be able to create a farm that would be able to handle the data like this.
Exactly. So for 15 years, Microsoft has been researching. I mean, this is the product of 15 years of work, right? But it's not, because for 15 years, they banged their head into the same wall that everyone else is banging their head into, and they were using the same approach that everyone else did. And only last year, in 2013, they decided, let's go give deep learning another try. Because it didn't work before, because it didn't have, they didn't have the resources. Today they have it. And in just 1 year...
In Azure.
Right.
Because of all of the things that they did to make the Xbox One possible, all of the learning options and the environmental, global environments, mm-hmm. and things like that that have, that are only possible because of Azure, that technology got to transfer over into Cortana, yep. and Cortana is now capable of powering Skype.
Absolutely. And we're talking about, this is a total paradigm shift. Google is doing it on their search results yeah. now. Long story short, this is going to become so mainstream that companies like even Sumo Software are going to have the power to do some of this sometime in the next 10 or 15 years. And everything that you've come to know about computers, about how we interact with technology, everything has just been thrown to the trash can. That's the bottom line.
Because the way data is processed is about to be
yep.
totally overturned.
Completely and totally overturned. We're talking about, like, you know, Asimov positronic brain type stuff.
Right. Data from next gen.
Right.
That kind of...
That's exactly yeah. right. So, all right.
Just no emotions.
And you know what's kind of cool? You know, so I watched a little thing before the show. And so the CEO of Microsoft says the reason that Azure came about is because of Bing. Because they tried to compete with Google, right? So right now, Microsoft has by far the best cloud offering on the planet. And they're just gobbling up market share. Now, why? Because of competition. It's kind of like race cars, right? You get all the cars out there, you race, you learn a lot, you build better engines, and
absolutely.
Eventually consumers get that benefit.
Absolutely.
That's what we're seeing today.
The kids in the robotics group that we... That uh-huh. we work with can yep. speak to this too. They go to a competition, they see clever ideas, they think, how can we compete against that? And that's all right. season long, the robots change.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So competition is an opportunity to learn. And anyone out there that doubts the power of the free market, this is capitalism at work. I mean, absolutely. You have Microsoft and Google and all these big companies competing on this stuff. We're all the beneficiaries. It's a good thing.
It absolutely is. And I mean, so much of modern Microsoft technology right now, just everything that you look at just wouldn't be possible without Azure.
Right.
And Azure wouldn't have come about if it hadn't been for Bing.
Yep, absolutely.
People can harass Bing all they want, but if Bing is responsible for the processing power to make a universal translator an option, I don't think we can make fun of it anymore. You know, I don't think anybody can say anything negative.
Well, that, and they have a beautiful picture every day, and their search results are actually better than Google.
Indeed they are, especially for people in the tech world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without any question on that one.
Yeah.
And I guess Nick is not coming.
Do you want to try and get him back? I'll just say one or two more quick things about this. Scott and I have been working on a number of different projects, and on one of those projects, I've been kind of struggling on what the user experience should be, and Cortana has absolutely changed my view of what the user experience can be. Before, it was very visual. It's a Windows 8 app, you know, it sits on your big screen, and you type and do a lot of finger manipulation there, moving your mouse around and touching the screen and do whatever you got to do. And Cortana makes it possible literally to totally voice control this thing. I don't mean, yeah, we did voice control stuff with Kinect before, but again, not like this. The command set is better. What we can do is more robust. And so I'm looking at completely changing the whole UI.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of branded.
Got to keep going. One more.
All right.
There we go.
There it is.
There's Nick.
Hi, Nick.
He's not on yet, but there he goes.
Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah.
Me too. So everything went crazy.
So the main thing is that this type of technology and what it enables, you're going to see people changing how they view the world, and software vendors are going to change how they see making products.
Absolutely. So with that information, that is the thing that's going to power our nightcap question a little later. But before we get to the nightcap, we've got one more topic to talk about, starting with Nick right now.
This week's VRM not included on F5 Live is proudly powered by Xbox Music.
Whether you have iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows 8, Xbox 360, Xbox One, or you just have an internet connection on a Windows or Mac PC, which is fun to say, a Mac PC. throwing people off. Wherever you are, you can access Xbox Music for $9.99 a month, $9.99 a month. Nick always throws me off on that. You get unlimited access to streaming, and you can download songs so that when you're in a place that you don't have reception, again, like the gym, you can still listen to your music. And right now, we've got a special for you. For $99.90, you can get a full year of streaming and downloading. And you can do that by going to f5live.tv/Xbox Music.
Speaking of music, there's some big news. If you didn't catch the news, you must have been living under an Apple PC. No. In reality, you must have been living under a rock. This week, Apple officially announced, after 2 weeks of rumors, that Beats Electronics and Beats Music have both been acquired by Apple for $3 billion, to which I repeat from the top of the show, whoa, Beats.
Yeah, that is a tremendous amount of money, and it seems like far more than the company is worth.
Yeah, you'd imagine so, right? So, I mean, looking at it from Apple's perspective, they have $155+ billion in cash just sitting around for Tim Cook to bathe himself in. So I guess that's okay, not that much money off the top. But when you look at the numbers behind at least the tangible part of Beats, which is the music program, the music streaming program, 500,000 subscribers. Not that many, considering Spotify has 4 million subscribers. So what's really coming with it? Well, two other things as well. The very popular Beats headphones, for whether you love them or hate them, they are popular. They sell well. And also the Beats audio hardware technology. Now for that, that puts Apple in an interesting position. If they start implementing this superior audio tech into their devices, into their iPhones, into the rumored iWatch that would end the company forever, or even in their MacBooks, that would make the MacBook relevant again in the music making space. And I think that could be the exact reason why they want to go ahead and overspend to acquire the brand to make themselves relevant in the space again, where they've lost a lot of share because of how terrible their audio processing is.
So one of the main reasons that Tim Cook seems to have suggested for the purchase, ironically, is in Beats Music, but not because of the low subscriber base, but because the cost per play that Beats Music has in their contracts is far lower, and by far lower, I mean it could be as much as 1/100th of Apple's cost per play for iTunes Music or iTunes Radio. So a lot of the reason for this purchase could be that they just purchased 1/100th of their streaming cost.
Yeah, you want to talk about why the move is so prolific, and it's really because Jimmy Iovine is moving over to Apple. He's going to step down as the CEO of Interscope, Geffen, A&M, and he's going to move over to Apple. Well, that brings Iovine, whether you love him or hate him, he is a very powerful guy in the music space. He is one of the pioneers in creating one of the big guys in the music space. So he controls his own record company. He can get those type of low costs per play. he can bring that over to Apple. Apple doesn't have to work on iTunes anymore and do what they always do, which is steal or buy technology. And that's exactly what it seems like here.
So I find it interesting that he's going to leave Interscope and be full-time employee of Apple.
Right.
It's such a change in his world, considering who he's been for the last forever.
Yeah, who has he been? So a lot of people don't know the history behind some of these executives in the music world. And for Iveen, dude started with cleaning floors and grabbing coffee in studios in New York City, all over the city, and moved up the ranks, just grinded all his life. Ended up producing music for like Bruce Springsteen, John Lennon, a bunch of other guys. I can't call the names right now. I don't know why. Stevie Nicks. There you go. So big names.
Dre.
Production visionary. Yeah. You know, it's so many, so many people he's worked with that he's had a hands-on part in their success. Now he's moving over to a company where they're not sure where he's going to fit in into a position yet. They haven't really announced how he's going to kind of fit a role. For Dr. Dre, I'm okay with all of this. I mean, his discography of success, if you will, has been from, you know, movies and musical scores to six-time Grammy Award-winning rap music. Just all of these things he's done, it fits. Like, oh, Dr. Dre's moved to Apple. Okay, yeah, I get that. That totally makes sense. That's just the next thing for him to do. He will become hip-hop's first billionaire. Good for him. Yay. But for Iveen, you're going to leave the thing you pretty much created and started to someone you're not sure who's going to take over the role yet, and into a position where you don't know what you're going to be doing. All of that just seems like you did it for the money. If that's the case, then okay, good for you. But I mean, it's just, it seems interesting. He's not dead yet. So what are you going to do with your career now?
Yeah. Especially when you consider that, that Apple has announced that their designers will take over the design duties for Beats headphones, which, thank goodness, because their headphones are always world-class, you know, award-winning. Oh, no, wait. I mean, everybody hates Apple's headphones. That's what I meant.
They're white.
Very similar word to use.
Yeah, I know. They're close together, just with a knot before it.
Apple, they redefined white in headphones.
Indeed.
I mean, how many white headphones had you seen before that?
Mostly just Sony stuff.
Yeah. But I mean,
some Bose stuff. But
so
yeah.
I mean, they're gonna probably create some other white headphones.
Well, Beats is also a little bit known for their white headphones. So there you go. It's a perfect pairing. Two companies known for their lackluster white headphones.
There you go.
You think they're not shiny enough?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The Beats headphones should be shinier. Don't worry, they're under Apple's control. They'll be shiny.
Very shiny.
There's no fear over that. It's so I guess some of the other information that's important to know is that Beats Audio has been very associated with HP for the last number of years, so much so that it was in their Palm phones and Palm tablets. The touchpad had Beats Audio along with the HP Pre 3. A number of laptops, including the one that Nick is using that you're looking at him through right now. That is an HP Beats laptop. People who have watched our special events have probably seen the logo on the back of it for the last couple of years. So HP is very...
Yeah, there's not even an HP logo on my laptop.
Right. It's all just the Beats logo. And HP has been so synonymous with it. And HTC has had a connection with Beats as well. They owned, what, 51% for 9 months or 15 months or something like that. So, in fact, both of my phones are Beats handsets. What will happen to them? Both of those companies have contracts for design through the end of 2014 and sale through the end of 2015. So HP has said that they have They've basically locked their designers in their offices for the next 6 months, and will be designing hardware configurations that will be able to have processor swaps under the contract guidelines so that they can continue to produce and release Beats powered machines to the end of the year. HTC, on the other hand, has gone the other direction and released a version of the HTC One with Harman Kardon audio. So HTC seems to have found their way forward. They're going to go Harman Kardon, it looks like. However, the Harman Kardon version, the M8, is not reviewing well right now. It doesn't sound like it's worth the $30, which is disappointing, but you know, it is what it is. So it'll be interesting to see what this does. We know that Nokia was working on and pulled out of the Lumia 928 a 24-bit audio processor that was developed with Monster's help. Maybe Nokia and Microsoft will refire that relationship and get that 24-bit audio processor for mobile going again. And then with it being in Microsoft's control, it means the HP could get a hold of it. Acer, Asus, you know, all the big guys could start putting, you know, the Nokia technology into their devices, so long as that came over. Maybe it's still under the Nokia brand, I don't know. That'd be interesting to know who has that deal.
If you really think about it, it's interesting. So if HP decides to cut ties completely, it would definitely change the culture of how they've been marketing the products to the customer for the past umpteenth years. I don't know how many, but a long time. And it would be weird for Apple to, I don't know, turn down franchising the thing out. I mean, it seems like it would make sense. I'll pay a licensing fee to get the Beats branding and the Beats technology, the Beats audio on your device, but then that ends up with competition. Oh, now you have an Apple technology in a PC. It's like, oh, it kind of meddled in it. But until someone can come up with another audio hardware that really stands out and really makes it a reason to market behind it, put energy behind it, really get people invested in it, I don't see what other option there is other than to really look at, from a production standpoint, really look at what Apple might do with Beats audio in its computer. I'm curious to see what it is. Not saying I'm all gung-ho for it, but I'd be really curious to see how they start implementing that and if that makes Pro Tools relevant again, if that makes Mac computing for music important in the studio again.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Now, it's also important to note that it would not be particularly surprising for Apple to limit the use to its own hardware. That's who Apple is. In fact, in the purchase of Beats Music, Apple has officially, for the first time ever, has something that they own and operate entirely available on Windows Phone and Android.
Yeah, that's funny.
So it wouldn't be surprising for them to lock it down. And honestly, for the industry, I kind of like the idea of them locking it down. And I'll tell you why. It's going to force, you know, it's going to force Noel Lee to go out and really create again. Because anybody who knows anything about the history of Beats knows that Noel Lee, the head monster at a Monster Products, is responsible for Beats, and a series of unfortunate situations led him to be cut completely out of the equation. He's an incredibly talented person, and there's no doubt in my mind that he has the ability to go create again. And, you know, him teaming up with Nokia was a great example. I don't know exactly whatever happened there, but I know that 24-bit processor went away. Whatever. It was never released. It was supposed to be in the 928. It never showed up. Whatever. But Nokia and Monster still have a relationship because there's the Purity headphones and things like that that are Monster made. It'll force maybe Sennheiser or M Audio or somebody who's already in the game to get into that aspect of the industry and create. And then now we'll have, you know, Beats competing against Monster and M Audio and Sennheiser and Behringer. And, you know, you could actually see, you know, I mean, obviously Harman Kardon wants to do something. They just didn't succeed. My guess is that was a last minute thing that happened with the M8. In the future, maybe that relationship will do better. Who knows? Who knows what this could do to the industry? You know, Apple closing up Beats and making it internal might be the best thing that ever happened.
It could be, and I hope it does breed more innovation in the space and more competition. That's always a good thing, as obviously we've talked about ad nauseum on the show. But at the same time, looking at it from a marketing standpoint, if I ask you what your head, if I go to anybody in a public forum and go, okay, name me headphones, the first thing out of their mouth is probably going to be Beats. And you have that marketing machine, that beast behind it. I can't come up with another name other than McDonald's or ESPN that could put their name on an audio technology and have it have that same effect. Obviously a little bit of jest, but in reality, you just don't have that marketing power. And I think that's going to end up hindering, at least for the first couple of years, the next thing that could be better. It was kind of Samsung's problem with the iPhone, is you're up against the next big thing, right? That was their whole thing, but it took to the S4 for that to really shift the tide on, oh, maybe I don't need an iPhone. And is that enough? Is that going to be a short enough time span for the next company to step in and keep people on a PC in a studio? I don't know.
Oh, I think absolutely. I think if Noel and Nokia were to get back together and put that thing together, because I've held in my hand a version of the 928 with the chip in it. It exists.
Yeah.
It works. Something went wrong. They just, whatever, maybe Nokia decided they wanted the price of the handset to be lower. Who knows? They never announced why they changed their mind on it. But my guess is that if Monster wanted to, by the end of July, could have product on the market running a Monster chip.
I can see that being a thing, especially since the prototype was already done. Everything was out on the market, and especially because you have such high influencers that aren't Lil Wayne on the Monster label, that you could definitely push it in a different way to more of the non-hip-hop crowd. I mean, yeah, you have Swiss Beats at the helm, but you have a lot of non-hip-hop singers and artists and actors on your brand that you could promote it through those channels, and it could be a success.
Absolutely. I think Noel is the industry's best chance to shake up this Beats acquisition.
I agree.
All right, and with that, that's our show.
It is.
Boy, that was weird.
It's strange. F5Live.tv, click the subscribe button on the right hand side, audio video special events, and the like. Many thanks to Mark Louder for filling in. Many thanks to me for making technology work and showing up to the show for most of the show. It's pretty impressive.
Many thanks to Microsoft for buying Skype and making it work just a little bit better.
And, day by day, right?
And I got to tell you, Nick's been speaking in Spanish the entire time, and who could tell?
You had no idea. Yo no sé.
There, I turned the translator off for him.
I thank you for that. Gracias. And mañana, yo ir al Disney World, the Dolphin Hotel. No, I will be at the Disney Hotel, Dolphin and Swan Hotels for IBM Innovate. Don't forget to follow along on at Plug Hits Live and at F5 Penguin. I'll be tweeting all day long, all week long. It'll be fun. I think Mark will definitely appreciate some of the stuff out of it. I think you'll have some pretty cool stuff to look at too, Scott. There's some tinkering things that I saw in there to get kids to code, which is actually really cool. And I can't wait to show Team Duct Tape and the ASCII Warriors, some really cool things about coding when I come back from this trip. So there's a lot of exciting stuff, and I can't wait to bring it home.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and of course, your ultimate goal is to get out with either Deep Blue or Watson. So, I know.
I know. I had one of Watson's drinks earlier in the night that was made with the Watson technology. It was a blue, they call it the Blue Mix, which is their new platform. They named the drink after it, but it was made by Watson. The food truck's not here. It was supposed to be here, not here, and I'm very upset about that, and I've already taken it to the IBM executive to demand that they drive it here for tomorrow. They laughed at me. So I don't know where we're going to go with that, but all I know is I need to get a hold of Watson Technology. You're absolutely right. He's coming home with me, baby.
Hey, I want the barbecue sauce.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. I want the barbecue sauce. Figure out how to make it happen. For those who don't know, Watson, one of the things that they've been doing is that they've been running experiments with the hardware and the learning aspect of it. And so Watson has been creating things for people, the drink that he mentioned, but he also put together a barbecue sauce, which is made with totally unexpected ingredients and apparently is... one of the best barbecue sauces. They entered it into a competition and didn't say who they were or where it came from. Just some guy from IBM came up with barbecue sauce and they won a competition with it. It's just it's impressive. So I'd love to get a hold of it.
And you know,
I don't know if I can bring it back from this event, but I will do what I can to grab a bottle.
Okay,
this is a little bit why you don't hear a whole lot about IBM in the tech world anymore. Because they took deep learning technology and they created a barbecue sauce and a new drink. Microsoft created the Universal Translator. So,
but you know what? As a way of showing, and that's that right there is the point of the nightcap question, which is coming up next, is what can this deep learning capability, what are some of the interesting things that could come out of it?
What should we apply this to?
Or what could we apply it to? So.
Very good. Well, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you stay tuned at fivelive.tv/join us. Follow all the news there. And on behalf of the staff that's not there, I'm Nick.
I'm Scott.
I'm Mark.
See you guys next week.
Ciao.
Peace out, Nick.